Long my soul was filled with fear. The grave seemed cold, the future drear. No hope beyond my soul could see, until the Christ spoke peace to me. Then did my heart throw off its chain. Christ's love sprang up where fear had been, and as a captive bird set free, I rose, a child of God to be. He lives, O soul, be strong. He will return for thee ere long. Rejoice, rejoice, be glad and sing. Christ is today the living King. I know he lives, he loves my soul. It was his blood that made me whole. And though he died to set me free, the risen Christ now dwells in me. No more shall death my soul dismay, nor shadows steal my peace away. I know beyond them all I'll rise, triumphant in my Savior's eyes. He lives, O soul, be strong. He will return for thee ere long. Rejoice, rejoice, be glad and sing. Christ is today the living King.
Thank you. trumpet call is sounding out. Our captain leads the way. Believe his word and never doubt. Just follow and obey. The word of Christ shall never fail, though battles rage around. Our Savior's kingdom shall prevail. Praise God, we're heaven bound. The Lord arose over all his foes and chased old death away. In glory land at God's right hand, Jesus lives today. The fight of God will not be lost, so bravely take your stand. Defend his word at any cost and follow God's command. As Christ arose, so we shall rise with all the saints of old. Then we shall gain the and march on streets of gold. The Lord arose over all his foes and chased old death away. In glory land at God's right hand, Jesus lives today.
Our scripture reading today is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Would you please turn there in your copy of God's Word? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we will be reading together verses 12 through 23. Let's please stand in honor of God's Word and read with me beginning in verse 12. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. And we say amen at the reading of his word. Would you please remain standing for the next hymn?
Tomb death, where is thy sting? Our Lord doth live. Oh, let your praises ring. Though he's on high, he's coming back someday. Jesus arose, praise his holy name. Jesus arose, death he overcame. An angel rolled away the stone, my Lord arose to save his own.
Bewildered, confused, and torn by grief. empty tomb. Will you share with them the
Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, we have lifted our voices to you in praise in these moments because Jesus Christ came to this earth and bore our sins in his body on the cross. He shed his blood and paid our price. He died our death and was buried in the grave, but then triumphantly arose from the dead, risen and glorified and exalted, our Savior. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for manifesting your love toward us through the gift of your Son, for granting to us your eternal mercy, and for bestowing upon us the grace that brings us to salvation. In these moments, as we think about what you have done for us through your Son, bring great rejoicing to our hearts. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We have been studying this year about God's involvement in the affairs of men. And whenever God involves himself in the affairs of men, things change. In Genesis chapter 6, when he brought the flood upon the whole world, there was a dramatic change. The flood halted the wicked imaginations of man and started things afresh with 8 saved people. In Genesis chapter 11, when God changed men's languages, there was a sudden new world system. And men parted ways, forming distinct nations. In Exodus chapter 14, when God parted the waters and the Israelites passed by on dry ground and the Egyptian army pursued them through the waters, God brought the waters upon the Egyptian army and destroyed Egypt as a world power, never to rise again to its former glory. These were spectacular events with catastrophic effects upon the course of human history, and there have been other such kinds of dramatic involvements of God in the affairs of men, but none so significant as the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Would you please turn to Romans chapter 5 and verse 12? Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. This verse of Scripture tells us that mankind had two significant problems. One was sin. The other was death. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death." While they are very much related, these are two distinct problems. James chapter 1 and verse 15 says that when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 22 says, "As in Adam all die," and Hebrews 9:27, "It is appointed unto man once to die." Romans chapter 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Sin is one problem, death is another. Sin produces death. So they are indelibly linked. But God understood in his great wisdom that each of those things needed to be resolved for mankind. It would take two things, one for each problem. To resolve sin, Jesus Christ died on the cross. Romans chapter 3 and verse 24. Romans 3:24 says, "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." There are three terms in these few verses that are significant with regard to resolving the problem of sin. One is the word redemption. Verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Redemption is paying a price. And we are told in Scripture that Jesus Christ paid the price, and the price was his blood, and we are bought with a price, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20. Propitiation in verse 25, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through his blood, means satisfaction. It is the satisfying of God the Father regarding his righteous demands upon us because of our sin. Jesus, by his blood, satisfied God the Father with regard to our sin. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2, "And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." And then there is justification. Verse 26, "To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus." Justification means to declare to be righteous. On the basis of our faith in Jesus Christ, God has declared us to be righteous in his Son. Romans chapter 4 and verse 5 says, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." And so, through redemption and propitiation and justification, Jesus Christ resolved the matter of sin. But even with the problem of sin resolved, we are still dead. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17. "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished." Dead. So God not only needed to resolve the matter of sin, he needed to resolve the matter of death. And so he says in verse 20 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "But now is Christ risen from the dead." We read early there this passage of Scripture, verses 12 through 19, and it discusses this proposal by some that Jesus Christ has not risen from the dead, that there is no resurrection. It comes from the Sadducees, remember. They did not believe in the resurrection. They believed in annihilation. You die, you go into the grave, and it's over. And so they said, if there is no resurrection, Jesus Christ himself cannot be raised. But that is a problem. It is not sufficient for Jesus simply to die for our sins. That only took care of the matter of sin. He needed to resolve the matter of death, and without that, all is lost. But now, he says, but now in verse 20, Christ is risen from the dead. Not simply, understand, not simply restored to human life as Lazarus was, but glorified. There is a distinction. Would you go to John chapter 11, verses 43 and 44, where Lazarus was raised from the dead? He is not the only one, but there's something very vivid here in this passage of Scripture that draws a distinction between Lazarus and others who were restored to human life and Jesus Christ, who was raised from the dead, glorified. Here in John chapter 11 and verse 43, it says, "And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes." It must have been quite a spectacle, Lazarus coming out of that grave. I don't know how he walked. I guess he took little steps, you know. He was all wrapped up in those grave clothes, and it says, bound hand and foot. That means he was all wrapped up in those grave clothes they wrapped the body in. And I guess he's coming out, but he's very obviously prepared for the grave with all those grave clothes all wrapped around him, and they had to unwrap all of that. Of course, Lazarus was restored to human life. That is, he was in exactly the same body he had before he had died. And he would die again in his human flesh. But go over to John chapter 20 and verse 6. In the record of Jesus' resurrection, John chapter 20 and verse 6. And when Peter and John went to the tomb, it says here in John 20 verse 6, then cometh Simon Peter following him and went into the sepulchre and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. When Jesus left the grave, he left his grave clothes behind. Now you say, well, that's such a little thing, but I think God gives us that information to show us a distinction between the resurrections. Lazarus raised simply to human life, once again to die, but Jesus Christ was raised unto glorification, meaning that he had a body now that was different than the body he had when he walked among men on the earth. A glorified body that would be the kind of glorified body you and I will receive when we are raised from the dead. Acts chapter 3 and verse 13. Acts chapter 3 and verse 13. When Peter addresses this matter before a group, he says, Acts chapter 3 verse 13, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son, Jesus. Glorified him. His resurrection was not simply back to human life as it was before, but now his body is given a new nature, a glorified nature. And this is described for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 42 and following. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 42. He has been talking in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 35 through 41, about different kinds of bodies. Because in the chapter, he's talking about resurrection. And he wants it to be very clear about the nature of our resurrection as it relates to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So he says in verse 42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. The illustrations that he has just given makes the point that there is a difference between the body that we have now and the body that we will have in the resurrection. Because there is a difference in the body that Jesus had when he walked upon the earth and the body that he had in his glorification. In verse 42, he says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, he says, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam, who is Christ, was made a quickening spirit. The word quickening means to make alive. And by saying he is a quickening spirit, he is made a spirit that is able to make others to be alive. Verse 46, howbeit that was not first which was spiritual, but that which is natural, and after that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And so he says, verse 48, and is it as is the earthy? Such are they also that are earthy, and as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. But behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed as Jesus Christ in his resurrection was glorified, so shall we be. For in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Jesus Christ conquered death, not simply by coming back to or being restored to the same kind of body and physical existence that he had before his death, but to a glorified existence. And that is the promise that we have been given. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 22, it says, "For as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive." Verse 23, "But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits." Christ can be called the first fruits from the dead because there is a distinction about his resurrection from all of the others recorded in the Bible as having been brought back to life. There were a number of folks that were brought back to life in the record of Scripture. One or two in the Old Testament, several in the New Testament. Lazarus being the most distinct. The widow's son brought back to life again. But all of those were simply restored to the same kind of human existence they had before they died. Christ is the first fruits from the dead because he is the first to be raised to glorification. In his glorified body, he conquered death once and for all. Romans chapter 6. Verse 8. "Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God." As death has no more dominion over Jesus Christ, death has no more dominion over all of those who are in him. He conquered death. He conquered the problem of sin through redemption, the paying of the price, through propitiation, the satisfying of the Father, through justification, the declaring of us to be righteous in him. And he conquered the problem of death by being raised to glorification, meaning that we have the same power applied to us that was applied to Jesus Christ in his resurrection. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 to 20. Actually, I'll begin reading in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17, "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being lightened, that you may know." What should you know? You should know what is the hope of his calling. And you should know what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And you should know, verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of his power. What is the exceeding greatness of his power? What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? The exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe is this. It is according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Jesus Christ was raised from glorification unto exaltation, and in that power that raised him from the dead, that is what we can know for ourselves. For you see, the resurrection of Jesus Christ changed everything. It was the resurrection of Jesus Christ that changed it all. Without the resurrection, those that are in Christ perish. If there is no resurrection, then everything is vain, including our faith. It is the resurrection that changed everything. Not only did he forgive us of our sins, he granted to us glorification in resurrection. Eternal life is ours because Jesus Christ arose from the dead. In Jesus Christ, we are not just forgiven, we are alive. And that is our rejoicing in this day. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most significant involvement of God in the affairs of men. Because he lives, we too can live. As in Adam, all die. In Christ shall all be made alive. May we rejoice this day in the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the change it brought about for all of us who would believe in him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful event, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. May our hearts be filled with joy this day as we reflect upon the marvelous event that took place so long ago, and yet has such a long-lasting effect, so that even today, if someone would place their faith in Jesus Christ, they can have that resurrection power applied to them. Lord, if there is anyone here in this room right now who has not yet received Christ as their Savior, may this truth be pressed upon their heart, and may their eyes be opened that they might understand and know what is the exceeding greatness of your power to usward who would believe, even the power that raised Christ from the dead. May we see someone this day come to know Jesus Christ as Savior, and we praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.